please listen carefully.
Well, hello world, and welcome to the Optimist Daily Update. I'm Christy Jansen.
And I'm Summers McKay.
And we're part of the team behind the Optimist Daily, making solutions the news. We bring you reader-funded solutions news every day in order to change the tenor of news media and the direction of your day to one focused on solutions.
6 days a week, we publish positive news stories written by award-winning journalists and delivered online to your inbox and through our social channels. Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn. Also, we're on Twitter. And now we are sharing these solutions, obviously, in a commute-worthy, walk-worthy, home office-worthy, Christy walked the dog and ran late to the meeting-worthy podcast. Today is Thursday, April 30th, 2020. Wow.
Summers, I can't believe that April is almost over, finally. It feels like it's been an eternity-long month. But May doesn't necessarily look much different right now to me.
I know. You know, I would say, though, Christy, for me, March was a decade and April felt like a minute. I guess because we got into our schedule and just got super productive at the Optimist Daily. And I know that it took a long time and I miss all of my friends. But March really felt way more arduous to me, I guess, than April did.
Well, I'm glad to know you're bouncing into May with a very positive attitude. I've been honestly having a harder time, and I appreciate these morning Optimist Daily check-ins, and also I appreciate these our stories and our team and all of my other friends in the world right now.
I, too, really appreciate my friends all over the world. I have found in this last month reconnecting with some of my friends in places far away, which I hadn't done in a very long time. Suddenly, a Zoom call to Barcelona or Tanzania or Ethiopia is just a FaceTime or a Facebook Messenger or Zoom or Skype. All of a sudden, I'm talking to people that I haven't had a chance to see or feel the love from in a really long time. So, like you, I'm incredibly grateful for our friends near and far.
And the far ones are just as close to you as me.
Exactly.
Only about an hour north. Here are today's top solutions. In summer, I think you get to go first today.
Yeah. I am up first today, and Christy, I had a really hard time picking stories this morning because these stories on the Optimist Daily today are fantastic. Our editorial team is crushing it, but we're going to start with one from policymaking. We only chose 5, but there are 10 stories up there today on the Today's Solutions, and guys, go look at all of them because they're great. How the capital of Lithuania is turning itself into a vast open-air cafe. For many cities around the world, the need for social distancing has motivated cities to experiment with different urban planning schemes. Just last week, we published a story about how Paris is creating 650 kilometers of pop-up Corona cycleways to be ready for May 11th when the lockdown is eased in France. Meanwhile, in Vilnius, the capital of Lithuania, plans have been announced to turn the city into a vast open-air cafe by giving over much of its public space to hard-hit bar and restaurant owners so they can put their tables outdoors and still observe physical distancing rules. Even so, that posed a problem for many restaurateurs in the Old Town area. Senamistis, a UNESCO-listed World Heritage Site, whose narrow streets make it almost impossible to place more than a couple tables outside. This prompted the mayor to offer the plazas, squares, and streets to nearby cafes so they can set up outdoor tables and conduct their activities during quarantine. 18 of the city's public spaces, including its central cathedral square, have been opened up for outdoor cafes and restaurants, City Hall said, and more are expected to be added as summer progresses. The move has been welcomed by owners, with more than 160 applying to take up the offer. For all of us, Vilnius is giving a fine example of ingenious city planning as it makes the most of its space to help local businesses. I can't wait to go sit outside in a great open-air cafe and see my friends 6 feet away.
I love it, Summers. We can book tables that are, you know, close enough to say hello with and distant enough where we can still keep our families safe. I like that.
See you on the plaza in May, Christy.
Sounds wonderful. All right. Well, our next solution is from the business section on The Optimist Daily. Why reopening will look different for every state. States across the U.S. are facing the difficult decision of how and when to reopen society. States like South Carolina and Georgia are moving to reopen business this week, while others like California and Washington are warier of reducing the social distancing guidelines. Here's why the post-COVID-19 plan can't look the same for each state. It is essentially inevitable that we will see some resurgent cases when the economic and social activities resume. The key is constraining these increases to a level that medical facilities can manage. Although the White House plan recommends beginning to reopen 14 days after a decrease of new cases, states with dense populations or high infection rates, like California and Washington, say that this is not a conservative enough measure to prevent an out-of-hand resurgence. Models like the one from the Harvard Chan School of Public Health recommend a timeline of 3 to 4 weeks of falling new infection rates before opening can really commence. Reintroducing business as usual also needs to account for demographic differences across entire regions. Coordinating policies across states account for spread due for travel over state lines. Also accounts for differences in outbreak severity in different regions of the country. Beginning to reopen areas of rural Georgia makes more sense than unleashing a free-for-all in downtown Los Angeles, which is reporting quite a few new cases today. I just was reading that this morning. Medical capabilities are another factor to consider. Assessing a state's medical resources and hospital space in relation to their number of active cases significantly impacts when business can recommence. U.S. is such a large and demographically diverse country that determining policies on a state-by-state basis is the only feasible method for creating a reopening plan that works for the entire population. Although this will look different, even down to the county or city level, increasing transparency and communication between local and state governments is the most effective tool we have for returning to normal life in a safe and cohesive manner. And I think this is really true. It highlights the demographic differences in the United States and the regional differences and also the deep cultural differences in how we function as a society, which is cohesive in one, on the one hand, and very diverse and distinctive in the other. So it'll be interesting to see how different areas approach this and how the different populations really start to come back to work. And the other thing I would say, Summers, what we really, really need is to have massive testing, and that's really going to make a huge difference. And I was thrilled to see that Los Angeles is now offering free COVID-19 testing for everybody in their county.
Yeah, I saw that this morning in addition to the news about all state beaches and parks in California being closed because people got a little too enthusiastic this past weekend. So simultaneously, we're seeing increased closures, but that increased testing will allow for more openings in the future. Good things ahead, but everybody, it's case by case, and listen to your local leadership and really do pay attention and abide by the recommendations because people are really thinking this through. Another thing we are thinking through is how to help our kids learn from home, from the education section of The Optimist Daily. Parents and teachers around the world have been unceremoniously thrown into online teaching with minimal preparation or precedent for what virtual learning should look like. Different schools are taking varying approaches to this new learning process, but parents are sharing the universal experience of taking a more hands-on role in their children's education. If you're struggling to manage homeschool, or even if you're a virtual learning rock star, here are some tips to help your kids learn more effectively at home. First, remember that although you may be new to Zoom classes, you have been teaching your children their entire lives. Filling at-home learning time with extra math worksheets and education apps isn't the only way to substitute in extra education. Other cognitive skill development activities like cooking, exploring the outdoor, even if it's just your yard, building something, or getting creative are all ways to expand your child's knowledge base outside of their online classes. If you're worried about kids losing valuable learning skills, remember that this break is not much different from the summer vacation they take every year. Learning is not a linear task. Children can retain reading, math, and problem-solving skills with simple daily practice. As long as their minds are active and they are developing cognitive skills, the rest will fall in line. In addition to online courses, it's a great time to teach kids about the real-world applications of educational skills. When it comes to math, having kids plan and cook meals can teach them multiplication skills, fractions, and measurement. For younger children, counting coin jars is a good option, and for older children, now can be a great time to learn to budget, balance bank accounts, or pick up Sudoku. Reading and writing skills are constantly developing. Fill those extra hours with literary escapes and incorporating reading practice from other activities like following instructions, playing games, writing short stories, or emailing relatives. Encourage your child to keep a journal to reflect on their experiences during this strange time, or even have them write out the grocery list. For some scientific practice, kids can learn to start seedlings or dry and diagram flowers from the garden. Older kids can even partake in the citizen science opportunities we've talked about on the Optimist Daily. Some of these activities may sound basic, but that is the point. There are so many simple ways to keep kids learning throughout the day. Get creative and let kids use their imagination to come up with new projects and tasks. Virtual classes and assignments are a great way to keep up with critical skills, but there are infinite ways to keep children engaged and learning off screens and around the home. This one's great. Christy, yesterday you posed the question, what early education can look like in the absence of large-scale classrooms, and I love that the writers answered that question. While we can't wait to get early education back into group environments, these are some great tools to bridge that gap.
Yeah, and I think anything that we can do to encourage our children's curiosity and keep them asking questions and exploring whatever their environment looks like is really the essential way to keep learning going, even when they're not in classrooms.
Absolutely.
Other things we can keep while we can't in our own backyards. I love this next article. It's from our urban development section. Urban farming has been flourishing during COVID-19 lockdowns. According to the United Nations, 2/3 of the world's population will be living in cities by 2050. Feeding that many urban dwellers will be no easy task, and it can also put a lot of pressure on the environment. This is where urban farming can help. The practice can be crucial to feeding a growing populace, potentially producing as much as 180 million tons of food per year, or about 10% of the global output of pulses and vegetables. The good news is that the current COVID-19 lockdowns are making this farming technique increasingly popular. It also adds to resiliency. Since the start of the pandemic, lockdowns have been pushing more city dwellers to grow fruit and vegetables in their homes or on their home plots, providing a potentially lasting boost to urban farming. Panic buying in some countries during the crisis has led to empty supermarket shelves and an uptick in the purchase of seeds, with people realizing that they don't necessarily need to rely on food supply chains in order to get their vegetables. The coronavirus outbreak is not the first time that concerns about food security have led to more kitchen gardens. During World War I, U.S. President Woodrow Wilson asked Americans to plant victory gardens to prevent food shortages. That effort continued during World War II, with vegetable gardens in backyards and schoolyards on unused land, and even the front lawn of the White House. That being said, let's hope that when the COVID-19 crisis passes, such projects of self-sufficiency will keep popping up at the same rate, with farming rooftops and backyards providing city dwellers with the vitamins that they need. And Summers, I just love this because for me personally, gardening, getting your hands in the dirt, and actually growing parts of your food, it's just this amazing connection with our food systems that you don't get if you're just buying things from the grocery stores. One of my favorite people that I follow is this guy, Ron Finley. He calls himself the Gangsta Gardener, and he just has a masterclass right now. He's from South Central LA. He's this really amazing guy, but he teaches people how to farm in their backyards, the importance of really understanding how to grow things. And really, the truth is that anybody can grow really successfully with just a few basic skills. And he's got a masterclass right now. That's a great online learning tool that people can get into if they're interested in learning how to grow some of their own fruits and vegetables in their backyards.
What is his name again?
Ron Finley. You can also search for him by Gangsta Gardener.
Perfect. I used to have an at-home garden when I lived in Santa Monica. I had a potted garden and grew tomatoes and some herbs and such. Where I live now, it is very much ocean air, and so I need to figure out some food products that love salt. I think I'll have to dig into the Optimist Daily archives and find those articles about, what are they, halophytes? What
halophytes,
are they?
Yep, halophytes.
Mm-hmm. I'll need to look for some food products that are halophytes mm-hmm. and get growing here. We have a lot of pretty flowers and pretty herbs around my house, but not a lot of real stuff we can eat. And I think that would be a good way to continue our victory garden.
Try a Swiss chard is pretty hearty and does pretty well. Kale, those kinds of greens are great. And also, I think lavender.
We have lavender, but you can't really do much with lavender.
Oh, but it smells
I like lavender. It smells lovely. I mean, how much lavender tea can you have? All right, moving on to planting other things. Christy, we pulled this article for today's show because it really speaks to what we were talking about yesterday with the green belts that are popping up all over the world. Philadelphia is planting trees to prevent premature deaths, from the environment section of the Optimist Daily. We've talked a lot about the mental and physiological benefits of time outside. One U.S. city specifically is studying these benefits and taking action to improve the health of its residents. A study found that Philadelphia could prevent 400 premature adult deaths a year by increasing its tree cover by 20 to 30%. This study was conducted by the Barcelona Institute for Global Health, and researchers analyzed 8 million people in 7 countries to calculate the relationship between greenery and social and physical health. Green spaces promote social cohesion, exercise, and responsibility for one's community. The Philadelphia City Council is aiming for a 30% increase in tree cover, but even just 10% increase would prevent 376 premature deaths. In addition to promoting human health, trees also mitigate the effects of climate change, reduce air pollution, and provide safe habitats for animals. We have talked about how planting more trees could prevent another pandemic like COVID-19, Any way you look at it, more trees are a solution for improved human and environmental well-being. Christy, yesterday my son and I were discussing his college decision and the cities that he was looking at, the west side of Los Angeles or potentially in Maryland, in Baltimore. And I suggested that he look at some of the efforts of city leadership to take on some of these initiatives and see if that could weigh into helping him make his decision, which city actually was focused on civic development as well. And I don't know, I'd love to go to college in Philadelphia right now because they seem to be really on it.
Absolutely. And I just love the emphasis on trees and greenery, and it really does make a difference to our emotional, psychological, and social well-being.
More trees to hug, right? More trees to hug.
That's right. All right, everybody. Well, thank you so much for listening to the Optimist Daily Update today. We promise to continue to share positive, solution-based stories with ideas on how you can participate in the changing world and ensure it is changed for the good. We promise to cover current events with accuracy, legitimate sources, and offer you the information needed most to chart new paths for all of us.
Please consider becoming an emissary on theoptimistdaily.com, and for just $5 a month, support reader-funded independent journalism. We really need your help at The Optimist Daily to keep our team running, to keep these good stories and good solutions coming. It's difficult to ask for money right now because so many people are in need, but if you have the opportunity to be generous for The Optimist Daily, either by becoming an emissary or making a donation to the organization through our partner nonprofit, the World Business Academy, we'd really appreciate your help. Be part of the solution, changing consciousness and addressing our world's biggest challenges with a problem-solving mindset.
Thank you, Summers, and say hi to Cleo for me. I heard her barking in the back.
You know, I locked her outside during your last story because we're having some deliveries arriving and I was afraid she was going to go nuts. So she's right outside my window barking and the kitten is on the other side of the window saying, Mom, why do you have Cleo locked outside? So they both send their love. Have a great day, everybody.
Bye, everybody. Thanks. Talk to you tomorrow.